Now, this sergeant, in the previous day's battle, had decided that he had had enough. He began the war as a private volunteer, and he made his rank up through sergeant. But the particular battle the day before had enough. His buddies were dying all around him. Explosions were taking place. Blood was spilt, and he had enough. So when the battle began, he threw his gun down, and he took off towards the rear. He deserted right in the middle of the battle. And if you know anything about the Civil War and the Revolutionary War and those kind of wars, deserters were oftentimes shot. They were used as an example so that nobody else would leave. Matter of fact, during the Civil War particularly, they had a group of men who were behind the front lines with swords. And when soldiers would run from the battlefield, they would have their swords and their guns out, pointed at them, said, "Listen, you get back into battle, I'm going to kill you right now." Because nobody knows how they're going to react in a battle until it really hits them. But this sergeant had enough. So they caught him, brought him back, and they were getting ready to execute him, but the president happened to be there that day. And they brought him before the president. And of course, the sergeant was a longer sergeant. He was busted all the way back to private. And had him dig his grave, and they had the coffin ready, and they had the firing squad ready to shoot him. And this sergeant stood before, ex-sergeant stood before the president, and the president asked him his name, and he told him. He said, "Where are you from?" And he told him. He says, "How long have you been in war?" And he told him all the things he'd seen. And the president said, "I'm going to let you go." Now, wait a minute. There had been hundreds of executions before this, and people with less motives had been executed. But the president was letting this one go. And he says, "And by the way, I'm going to show you mercy, but I'm going to show you grace. I'm going to let you have your rank back. I'm going to put you back as a sergeant." Of course, he was flabbergasted. And of course, his commanders, captains, and they could not believe it. And of course, the president said this, so they couldn't question the president. They couldn't say, "Hey, it's not right." They had to simply accept what the president did. So the sergeant went back now to his unit, got re-outfitted, and got ready for the next day's battles. One of President Lincoln's aides asked him, said, "Why him? Was it because of all his battles? Was it because of what he's done? Is it because of where he come from? Was it because of his name?" And the president said, "No." The president said, "Because I fell in love with him. I love him. And therefore I gave him grace and mercy." You and I are worse than that deserter. You and I have turned against God time and time again. Our sins have created a chasm between us and God. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we deserve to be executed. We deserve to be buried. We deserve to be separated from God for eternity. We've earned nothing but hell. But God, through his love, "I'm going to give you grace." Who's deserving of grace? Not a single one of us. Do you deserve grace more than I do? Absolutely not. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, "Brother Brian, I know that. I've been saved since I was," and you can name the time and the place. So, Brother Brian, talk about something else. What is better to talk about than the grace of God? It ought to make you shout hallelujah, saying, "I deserve hell, but I'm saved. I've got heaven waiting for me. I've been forgiven. I've been restored." What is better than that? Grace. Unmerited favor. Well, Brother Brian, so-and-so so-and-so doesn't deserve grace because of what they did. No. Get your stinking snooty nose out of the air and get it in the Bible. For God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. How about you? Look at Ephesians with me. We're going to go back to Acts. Hold your finger in Acts and go to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter number 2. Paul writes, he says, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. For in time past you walked according to the course of this world." That's how you lived. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyles, in times past in the desires of the flesh, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." He said, listen, you were in trouble. You were wicked, you were nasty, you were ungodly, you were deserving of punishment. So stop judging other people, stop looking at other people where they are. Listen, you were right there. See, Paul wants us to understand, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a single one of us that deserve grace. So why did God pick you and me? "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Brothers and sisters, once you experience grace, and once you've been forgiven, and you understand what God has done for you, you ought to live like it. Grace! That soldier deserved to be put in front of that firing squad and killed and buried and forgotten. But the president showed him mercy and grace. I don't know the soldier's name. I can't tell you. I don't know where he was from. But I can tell you this. He left the president's presence that day. Praising, I promise you. He didn't walk around moping. He didn't walk around like, well, I'm going to keep this a secret. I imagine he wanted to jump and shout and say, "Thank you, President. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me another chance. Thank you, thank you, thank you." Now, did the soldier bear the scars? Yes. But he was a changed. Let me ask you again, brothers and sisters, those up here on the shelf, who deserves grace? Not a single person. Why does God extend his grace towards us? Because he loves us in spite of us. Whew. That's enough to make a backslidden Episcopalian say amen. If you know one, tell them about it. Amen. Now, let's go back to the book of Acts. Let me show you something this morning. Acts chapter number 3. We've been looking, going through the book of Acts. Peter has just got through being used of God to witness to a beggar, a a lame man, and God empowered that man and raised him up, and he was no longer lame. He was walking around praising God. This attracted a lot of attention. People came around and wanted to see what was going on. And Peter laid the lumber to him. Look what Peter says to this group of Jews. Now he's leading, he's talking to Jews. No, Drew too, maybe, I don't know. And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, verse 11. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering, what's going on? And when the people, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. And here's what he told them. Ye men of Israel, he's talking to his fellow people, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you earnestly on us, as though by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk? He says, what are you guys doing here? You thinking we did this? We didn't do this. He says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, now catch this, the God of our fathers. Peter identifies himself with these Jews. Peter's not pointing his finger at them saying, you guys have done this horrible thing. He says, no, you're not the only ones. I am a Jew also. He says, the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, who you delivered up, and you denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. He says, listen, you bunch of dirty, rotten scoundrels, you got Jesus arrested, you got him tried, you got him crucified, you denied him, you wanted a murderer instead. You are horrible, nasty, wicked, filthy people. And I'm just like you, Peter says. We've done it. Now, some of those Jews were standing around, and they may have been very well the ones that stood up that day and said, crucify him! Crucify him! They didn't understand what they were doing. They just went along with the crowd. And some of them may not have been there. Some of them may have never seen Jesus. But Peter says, guess what? We're all guilty. We've all denied him. We've all put him up for crucifixion. We're all wrong. Now, some of you may be sitting here this morning and say, wait, Brother Brian, not me. I've done no things wrong. I love how Dennis said on Thursday, he says, has any of you ever stolen something from your workplace? And every hand went up. Ever took money from your mama's purse? And hands went up and says, you know what that makes you? A thief. He says, have any of you ever told a little white lie? Just a little untruth? And every hand went up and he says, guess what? That makes you a liar. How many thieves and liars do we have in here this morning? Some of you are lying, didn't lift your hand up this morning. I can tell already. We're all there. We're all deserving of punishment. And Peter says, guess what, guys? I'm right amongst you. Because remember what Peter did just less than a couple months before this? Who remembers what Peter did? He denied Christ. That's pretty wicked. How many of you agree denying Christ is wicked? Whew. So Peter says, guess what, fellas? I'm right in amongst y'all. He says, we're done. We've killed the Holy One. We've killed the Son of God. But I'm glad the story doesn't end there. Verse number 16. And his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. You know this fella. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He says, look what God did. He healed his body. We didn't heal him. I didn't touch him. God did it. May I tell you, you're looking at a man who has been saved not by my effort and not by a human being laying hands on me. It was God's grace only. And I'm looking at a bunch of sinners who, if your sins were revealed up on this screen right now, how many of you would crawl up underneath your seats? So before you start sticking your nose up in there thinking you're Well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. I appreciate that. It's the truth. We got to know where we come from. I praise God I'm not there no more. He goes on to say, and now, brethren, verse 17, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. He says, listen, some of you participated in this and you had no idea what you're doing. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer hath so fulfilled. See, God told them this was going to happen before time. In the book of Isaiah 53, which we're studying on Sunday evenings, I invite you to come back as we go through it verse by verse. He's talking about it. And he talked about it in the book of Micah. And he talked about it in the book of Psalms. He talked about it in the book of Genesis. The prophets over and over and over saying, hey, the Messiah is coming. The Holy One of God's coming. Hey, God's going to send your forgiveness. He's going to give it to you. He look for him. Be ready. And Peter says, even though he appeared on the scene, you still rejected because you weren't looking for him. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we deal with our sinful state? Some of you are going to do this morning. You're going to walk out of here the same as you came in. Knowing that you've sinned, knowing that you've done wrong, you're going to continue to live in sin, you're going to continue to do wrong, and you're not going to have any qualms about it because you've deadened your hearts. You're so used to your sin that it doesn't mean anything anymore. That's what Peter's talking about here. He says, I know some of you are going to leave here out of my presence the same way that you came in. But there's hope. Brother Brian, what do I do? Peter told them, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, whom before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Repent! Turn away! Get right! Stop sinning! Turn away from your sin and turn to the glory of God! Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior! Stop living what you're living! Now that's not a popular thought nowadays. Well, Brian, I just want to do what I want to do, and I want to live how I want to live, and I don't want anybody telling me my rules and regulations. If it feels good, I'm going to do it. Shifting lines. If I like it, I'll do it. If I don't like it, I'll do it. But I don't want the downer. I don't want to be told I'm going to hell. I don't want to be told I got to repent. I don't want to be told I'm wrong. If I've got cancer, I want the doctor telling me I got cancer. Amen? If I've got a flat tire and I'm driving down the road and a person pulls up beside me and says, hey, you got a flat tire, I want somebody to tell me. I remember as a little boy in New Mexico, we were helping a family move. And back then, we didn't have moving trucks. We had a big old pickup truck, 5 miles to the gallon, big old Ford. And it piled high with household goods. I was about 11 years old. And we were driving down the road, and back then was dirt roads a lot, some pavement, but not very much. And we were driving around. All of a sudden, this guy gets on our tail, just honking and honking and honking. And the person who was driving said, what's this idiot doing? Just honking. We kept on driving. This is a fool. Flashing his lights and everything else. So what'd the driver do? Stepped on the gas. Finally, this guy gets around us, and he comes up and he rolls his window down, one of those crank windows. I'm not talking about one of those automatic windows like we got now. He reached over and cranked his window down. And the driver said, what's this idiot doing? So he rolled his window down. And he says, your truck's on fire. The person who had been driving had been smoking. And he flicked the cigarette out the window. and it landed in the household goods, and it was smoking. And we couldn't see it because we were going down the highway, and the smoke was billowing behind us. And he says, I've been trying to stop you. So what did the driver do? Just keep on going. Oh, it'll go out itself eventually. Absolutely not. He pulled over. We got out of the truck. And by the time we got out of the truck, the whole thing was consumed. This is way before cell phones, apparently. Way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Now, we had two choices as we drove down the road. We could ignore that person, or we could stop and deal with the problem. I praise God we didn't ignore that person. I was just a passenger. I had nothing to do with it. But I would have suffered the consequences. I am that person tailgating you, flashing the lights, opening my window saying, stop! You're living in sin! You're committing adultery and fornication, and you're lying and you're stealing. Repent. Turn around. Quit being judgmental. Stop gossiping. Repent before it's too late. Peter said, guys, you're all guilty. And I don't know why God wants to forgive us, but he does. Take advantage of it before it's too late. Well, Brother Brian, this is Jews he's talking to. He's not speaking to Gentiles. This was a long time ago. No, it's the same Jesus, yesterday and today and forever. He's the only one capable of forgiving you for all your trespasses and sins. I read it to you in the book of Ephesians, that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And the only solution to being made alive is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, Brother Brian, I've been saved, I've been baptized, I've been a member of the church, hallelujah, I got my asbestos fire suit on, guess what? Woo! I'm going to heaven! We're getting to go where Danny sung about this and the choir sang about. We're going to heaven! Woohoo! What about your loved ones and friends? Your neighbors? Well, I can't talk to them about it. You can talk to them about sports. Talk to them about the weather. Why not about Jesus? I know I'm stepping on toes, so I'm meddling. But it's the truth. Brothers and sisters, who is supposed to repent? Everybody. What are we supposed to go towards? Jesus Christ. What are we supposed to do once we repent and are convicted and our sin, I'm convicted and our sins are wiped away and blotted out? What are we supposed to do? Live like it. You can clean up a junkyard dog on the outside, but he's always going to be a junkyard dog. You got to change him from the inside. Look at me and we're done. You're a junkyard dog. Or some of you were. Have you been cleaned? Not by the vet or the dog groomer. Has God cleaned you on the inside? That's what matters. So how did the people react when they heard this? What did they do? Well, next Sunday we'll talk about that. Or if you want to cheat, go on ahead. Look at the next chapter. I encourage you to. But here it is, brothers and sisters. Grace was extended even though they had sinned. That same grace is here right now. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Are your sins blotted out? Hallelujah. Live like it. And you know the best way to indicate that you're blotted, your sins are blotted out? By loving one another. Not judging one another, loving one another. Now, I'm not going to assume that everybody in this room is saved. I can't. I'd be foolish. Some of you have never done that. You signed a card. You said a little prayer. You've gone to church. Your grandma and grandpa have gone to church for years. Well, I'm okay. No, you must be born again. Grace is extended to everybody. Will you receive that grace today? Will you receive it? I'm so glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you glad? Amen. Let's stand together this morning. All heads bowed, every eye closed. Won't you come on up? I'm thankful for grace. My daughter's name is Grace, and reminds me every day of God's grace. But you know what? I'm not what I used to be, and praise God that I'm not what I'm going to be yet. But I praise God I'm forgiven, and I have God's grace. Do you? If not, today's the day. Today's the day. Let us show you from the Bible. I invite you to come. I invite you to come and say, Brother Brian, I don't have that grace. I've not been forgiven. I'm in my sins and I'm dead in trespasses. Would you show me? We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe you want to come this morning and say, Brother Brian, I just want to repent. And I want to say I want to get right with God. Maybe you just want to come forward and just thank God for his grace. I ask you one question, then we're going to sing. How many of you are thankful for God's grace? Would you just raise your hand this morning? Phew. Gosh, I deserve hell. But God has given him his grace. Father, thank you for forgiving a wretched, filthy, nasty soul like me. I deserve hell. I admit it in front of these brothers and sisters. I've been wicked. I've been nasty. I've been ungodly. But I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to take my place on that cross, to die in my place, to be my propitiation, my replacement. And I thank you that I trusted that by faith. And your grace has overwhelmed us. For where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Help me to live in that grace and to show others that grace. But Lord, I know there's some folks in here who've never experienced that grace. They've played the game. And game time is done. Game time is gone. Please, God, bring them forward. Let them trust Jesus Christ, their Savior. Let us show them from the Bible how they can know. We love you and thank you that you love us. And God, thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need to come, come. I'll meet you down here. I'll pray with you. But don't put it off. Repent. Turn to God. Turn to God. Won't you come right now? Step right on out.